Thank you, Mary. That was too much of a generous introduction. Also, please add on my formal CV a great friend of your great nation. So it's a pleasure to join you all today and speak at such a critical time for European and global security. And the partnership between NATO and Ireland goes back almost 25 years now. And in that time, we have worked together in many, many ways. Ireland has contributed to NATO's missions in Bosnia, in Afghanistan. Now it has troops as part of our mission in Kosovo. We work together to advance women, peace and security agenda and to increase your capacity to participate in UN and EU missions. And we work together to enhance our interoperability with the other forces. And here you have a long and proud tradition taking part in the UN peacekeeping missions for everyone in the past 65 years. That's nothing short of a record. But as I discussed quite recently with your foreign and defense minister, Michael Martin, on the margins of the Munich Security Conference, NATO values its partnerships and our partnership with Ireland in particular. Of course, Ireland is not a member of NATO. It is a neutral country. We respect Ireland's neutrality, the right of sovereign nations to walk their own path, to choose their own security arrangements. This is fundamental to our values. It's a key part of the UN Charter, which commits all nations to settle disputes peacefully, to respect sovereign borders, and to refrain from the threat of or the use of force. But by invading Ukraine, a sovereign and independent nation, President Putin has shattered these commitments. He has declared war on the rule-based international order, as we know it and as we cherish it. While the world has been shocked by the brutality of Putin's war, we are not surprised. This is only the latest bloody chapter in a long history of Russian aggression, from Grozny to Georgia and from Aleppo to Crimea and the Donbass. In the months running up to last year's invasion, NATO allies shared precise intelligence about Russia's preparation for war. We worked hard right up to the last possible minute to persuade Putin to pull back from the brink. But despite for our calls for peace, Putin chose to attack. And when he did, he made two big strategic mistakes. First, he underestimated the extraordinary resilience of the Ukrainian armed forces. And he also underestimated the resolve of our free and democratic world to stand with Ukraine. 1 year now, despite his many setbacks, Putin is not preparing for peace. He's committed to more war. While the fighting continues, some lessons from this war are already clear to us. First, we must support Ukraine for as long as it takes and with whatever they need to win. NATO has been Ukraine's partner since it first gained independence over 30 years ago. We stepped up our support when Putin illegally annexed Crimea in 2014, training and equipping tens of thousands of Ukrainian soldiers. And the world now knows just what a formidable fighting force Ukraine's military is. Since Putin ordered his tanks to cross Ukraine's border a year ago, NATO allies have provided unprecedented support with over 100 billion euros of financial, humanitarian, and military assistance, including tanks, advanced air defense systems, munitions, and other military equipment. Ireland also contributes millions in euros to Ukraine through the UN, the Red Cross, and other international organizations. We must support Ukraine to win this war, because if Putin wins, he and other authoritarian leaders like him would learn a terrifying lesson, that aggression works, that brutality works, that war works. We cannot let that happen. It would make the world more dangerous and all of us more vulnerable. So supporting Ukraine is not only the morally right thing to do, it's also serving our own interest. The Republic of Moldova, a fellow neutral country, is also exposed to the full arsenal of Russia's hybrid war toolkit. The second lesson is that we must continue to strengthen our deterrence and defense. We live in a more dangerous world and can longer afford to treat defense as optional. It is a necessity. And I know I'm a political guy myself. I know it is difficult to choose between social, economic, investment programs, but also security is part of the essential things that nations have to do to defend their citizens. Security is the foundation of our freedom and prosperity. This is why NATO allies are committed to spending 2% of GDP on defense, and increasingly, 2% is viewed as a floor and not a ceiling. For Finland and Sweden, until recently, for Finland, a neutral nation since the Second World War, and for Sweden from 1812, and they are so close geographically to Russia, the need to strengthen their defense has led to a dramatic reconsideration of their security interests and where those security interests lie. So after many, many, many years and centuries of neutrality, both countries applied for membership in the NATO alliance. These were historic decisions taken freely that demonstrate the desire of free nations to stand together and to decide their own destiny. So far, this has been the fastest accession process in NATO's modern history. All NATO allies invited the two future allies to join at the Madrid summit in June last year. 28 of the 30 allies have already ratified the accession protocols, and this sends already a strong message that violence and intimidation will not work, and NATO's door remains firmly open, and we are looking forward to receiving these two new allies very soon amongst our ranks. The third lesson is that we need to strengthen the resilience of our societies. Military forces are necessary, but they're not enough. Modern conflict is about far more than just guns and tanks. We must be every bit as concerned with the protection of our critical infrastructures, supply chains, cyberspace, or space assets. Resilient societies are our first line of defense. They are better able to deter, to resist, and bounce back from attack, be them physical or digital. Even here in Ireland, far from the front line, Russia's presence is felt. Last year, Russia planned a naval exercise in Ireland's exclusive economic zone. And following the sabotage of the Nord Stream pipelines, the security of undersea cables connecting Ireland to North America, the UK and Europe has come into sharp focus. So NATO allies recently decided to establish a new critical undersea infrastructure coordination cell. It will engage with industry and bring key military and civilian stakeholders together to boost the security of our undersea infrastructure. As an advanced knowledge-based economy with thriving technology, pharmaceutical, biotech, financial sectors, ensuring Ireland's resilience would be critical in the years ahead. And this is where I believe our partnership could be put to work. The war against Ukraine has also demonstrated the danger of relying on authoritarian regimes. Russia's dependency on Russia's oil and gas made all of us vulnerable. We cannot make the same mistake with China or other authoritarian regimes on things like rare earth materials or so vital for the transition away from fossil fuels. And I know for countries that are so trade-oriented and open societies and open economies like Ireland, keeping the international trade system and making it work is vital for your own interest. But the reality that we see a fragmentation of supply chains, we see economic resilience and a connection between security and economy becoming ever more present. And this is a fact. And I think all of us have to adjust to this new reality. So resilience requires close cooperation between allies and partner countries, including Ireland, other organizations, and I have to say our number one partner, which is the European Union. So we are stepping up our cooperation with the EU, including through the new NATO-EU joint declaration and a new joint task force on resilience and critical infrastructure. Resilience is a team sport. Civilian and military, public and private sector, and empowered citizens who are essential to strong societies. So in the past year, the world has changed fundamentally. We are living through the biggest security crisis in Europe since the Second World War. We are also living through the most transformative technological revolution ever. So our freedom does not come for free and cannot be taken for granted. And only working together, NATO allies, our partners around the globe, we can secure our future. We can secure our way of life. We can secure that our citizens will be free, prosperous, and resilient. So these are a few thoughts from NATO headquarters in Brussels. I know that Rose Goethe-Müller, my dear friend and predecessor, was in 2019 in person in Dublin for this conference. So if you and I will be able to find a good timing, I look forward to visiting Dublin As I know, I love and respect your country, and the partnership with Ireland is very much cherished here at NATO. Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to your questions.